Some foodie bits and pieces. Eating potatoes can be good for you if they're prepared in a healthy way. A study in Australia has reversed the previous advice that said potatoes are bad for your health and increase the risk of developing complications such as type 2 diabetes. Around 54,000 people took part in the study by self-reporting their daily food intake to outline how often they eat potatoes. The findings show that the people who regularly eat vegetables were 21% less at risk of developing type 2 diabetes compared to those who rarely eat vegetables. According to the researchers, potatoes do not prevent the development of type 2 diabetes, but they do not have a negative impact. In previous studies, potatoes have been positively linked to incidence of diabetes, regardless of how they're prepared, but this study found this is not to be true. In Denmark, people consume potatoes prepared in many different ways. In this study, it was possible to distinguish between the different preparation methods. 1. Boiled potatoes were separated from mashed potatoes, fries or crisps. Boiled potatoes were no longer associated with a higher risk of diabetes. 2. People who ate the most potatoes also consumed more butter, red meat and soft drinks, foods known to increase the risk of type 2 diabetes. When this is accounted for, boiled potatoes are no longer associated with diabetes. And 3. It's only fries and mashed potatoes that are linked to type 2 diabetes. And the latter is likely to be because it is usually made with butter and or cream. The study reported that the vegetables that can prevent the development of type 2 diabetes are spinach, broccoli, cauliflower and lettuce. As for potatoes, the researchers concluded that they can't say that they have a benefit in terms of type 2 diabetes, but they also aren't bad if prepared in a healthy way.
In terms of diet generally, the researchers made the following points. Replacing refined grains such as white rice and pasta with potatoes can improve your diet quality because of fibre and other nutrients in potatoes, and these are good for you. These days there is much talk about carbs being bad, but it's more about the type of carbs you're having. Compared to something like white rice, boiled potatoes are a good quality of carbohydrate. The message is, take care how you prepare them. Don't eat fries or mash with extras in it all the time. Pizza is a big challenge for people with diabetes, especially for insulin users. When you eat any food that's packed with both fat and carbs, the fat slows down the absorption of those carbs, making the glucose rise more unpredictable. Many sweets and junk foods will cause this sort of blood sugar unpredictability, but the problem with pizzas are particularly difficult. Pizza is mostly just dough and cheese and contains loads of carbohydrates and loads of fat, a combination that is almost bound to cause blood sugar changes. The starch in the dough is almost bound to send your blood sugar shooting up, but the fatty cheese makes the timing of that rise extremely difficult to predict, not helped by the toppings. For those that use insulin with every meal, a healthy and uneventful night of eating pizza can seem to require both advanced maths and a lot of luck.
Choices. Whether you have type 1 or type 2 diabetes, it is worth remembering the whole... Whether you have type 1 or 2 diabetes, it is worth remembering that while pizza may be delicious, it really isn't nutritious. So, bearing in mind that high sugars are not healthy and not good long term, do you eat pizzas? And if so, how do you cope with the effects on blood sugars? The choices may be obvious. 1. Just eat less pizza, one slice, half a slice, or just a bite to enjoy the flavour. 2. Abstinence. Just don't eat any. And 3. Enjoy your full share of pizza, but make it once a month instead of once a week. There is no real medical advice on how to deal with the challenging blood sugars as a result of eating pizza. There are ideas from the experiences of people with diabetes which may be worth considering. However, we have to warn that before making any significant changes to the way that you eat and use medication, you should talk to your healthcare provider.
Eat your protein and veggies first. Filling up with lower glycemic index foods seems help to flatten out the impact of the high carb ingredients you eat next. As a minimum, a salad should be available. For some people with type 2 diabetes, this can be sufficient to prevent the high sugars, but for people taking insulin, it is a bigger challenge.
Splitting your insulin dose. Many people with diabetes find that counting carbs and using a single insulin dose before eating doesn't work for pizza. You might go low first and then go very high later, which happens when the insulin you've given gets into the blood before the glucose from the dough does. Then you may need to consume some sugar to avoid a hypo, which will just make that late glucose spike even bigger. Scientists have found that people with diabetes eating pizza can still need extra insulin up to 8 hours later.
These ideas may help. 1. Split your initial insulin dose, the first one followed by a second one sometime shortly after eating. If past pizza experiences have resulted in fast blood sugar drops and or late blood sugar rises, it may be better to give the bulk of your insulin after you begin eating. 2. Others find that pizza takes such a long time to digest that it is hours before the peak glucose rise occurs. Again, to avoid this, consider splitting your insulin dose. Give only half of your total insulin before the meal begins and the rest an hour or two later. 3. Instead of using one injection before the meal and one injection after it, take 2 or 3 smaller injections after you finish eating, one every hour or two. And 4. Pump users have better options. The more closely you can pay attention to your blood sugar, the easier this will be, so checking your blood sugars frequently is important, and this is much easier now we have the Freestyle Libre and CGM. Your body is unique, and the only way to really learn what works for you is to experiment on yourself.